We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon a precious, precious segment of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that the Holy Spirit will open the treasures which are hidden in it to us and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Spirit opens the what we call the volume of nature in Job chapter 12, verses 7, 8, and 9. It reads this way. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare it unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? So the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit who inspired Scripture, was also active in the creation with the Father and the Son. And we can learn an awful lot about God by looking at the volume of nature through the eyes of Holy Scripture. And that's what the Holy Spirit does here. We're going to zero in on one part of the verses that were read, and the part we're going to zero in on is this one, the fowls of the air. Ask now the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Well, what would they tell us? What would they tell us? You know, it is possible for each one of us to see a miracle. But we have to be at the right place at the right time. And if we were, we would see hundreds of thousands of people gathering together once a year from all parts of the world, or at least many parts of the world. And they would come to the same place once every year. And after they were all there, they would have a celebration for a whole week. Their version of the Mardi Gras. Parades, whole bunch of stuff going on. But they had to be at the right place and at the right time. And the right time is March 19th. Got to be that day, March 19th. And the place is a little city in Texas called Capistrano. And by now you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the legend or the miracle of the cliff swallows of Capistrano. What's so miraculous about it? What's so miraculous about it is that these swallows make a journey of some 6,000 miles. And they come to the same place at the same day of the year, every single year. That's amazing. The timing is absolutely amazing. And these swallows, this is why the people come. They come to see the arrival of the swallows. And then they have a great big party for the week after that. One of the comforts here that the birds are teaching us, at least in my opinion, is this. That there are some things in this world that change so little. And I find that extremely comforting. We're living in a world that is filled with change. Every single day things are changing, 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 changing. And I look back to my early childhood. One of my most pleasant memories was riding in the rumble seat of my father's car. It was really neat. My father, my mother, my sister were in the car, and I was in the rumble seat on the outside all by myself. And well, that was neat. But that doesn't happen anymore. My grandchildren don't know what a rumble seat is. They know a lot more about computers and stuff than I do, but they don't know what a rumble seat is. But you look at things that have happened through my life, and it's one change after another. I'm kind of a killer of schools. Three of the schools that I went to are not schools anymore. They had to close. And the prophecy that my kindergarten teacher said on my first report card, which my mother kept and my wife still has, is Larry doesn't seem to like school very much. Well, one of the reasons I didn't is because she locked me in a closet in the dark for a couple hours because I was doing something she didn't like. How can you love that? But anyway, but there's other things. And then there's a lot of things, the changes, a lot of them are very, very good. I'm thankful for the advantage I have that I can hear with hearing aids. Without that, I couldn't hear. And surgery for my eyes. Right now, my left eye is 20/15. Without that, I couldn't see anything. So there's a lot of things. I'm thankful for a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of things happening that aren't very nice either. And right now, it seems like the whole world is in chaos. Things are happening in our country that are in chaos. Nobody can seem to control these things. But the birds tell us that there are some things that change so little. I see miracles every year out in my barn. The barn swallows come just about the same day every single year. It varies one day or two every now and then. But the Lord God is always in control. He knows what he's doing. He's controlling everything. Nothing is happening without his control and his permission. And that's extremely comforting. I am the Lord God, I change not. The same God that guided all the children of Israel and 10 plagues down in Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, this, that, and all these miracles, he's the same God today. And he can control everything. So we look at, you know, these swallows have been coming for thousands of years. They haven't changed. And Jeremiah points this out, and he has a contrast here. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7 says this, "Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle dove and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming." Oh, what time is that? It's when God tells them to migrate, and they do it. So you go to Capistrano on March 19th, you'll see the swallows coming every time. Something's changed so little. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. And that's the tragedy. The swallows know, but God's people don't. And so the miracle is there if we only have eyes that can see and ears that can hear. So in a few minutes, and we could spend hours on this, but just a few minutes, what are some of the things that the birds teach us? And one thing would be they obey God. That's precious. That's valuable. Most people do not. But the swallows do, and they teach us. And another thing, God feeds the birds. They live like you and I are supposed to live, one day at a time. They don't worry about it. They don't worry about it. Jesus pointed that out. Matthew 6:26. "Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not." You don't see them out planting seeds in the spring. "Neither do they reap." You don't see them in a tractor gathering a harvest in. "Nor gather into barns." I've never seen a sparrow that has. Some of them go in my barn, but they don't have it. "Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." And then the kicker. "Are ye not much better than they?" So we look at the care that God has for his creation. And this is something we should think about. God loves his whole creation, even the dirt. He made covenants with the land. And he feeds sparrows. And then he says, "Why should you worry? I feed the sparrows. I'm certainly not going to let my children starve." And the king said this, I have been young and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Well, there are a lot of children in this world that are starving. And my mother knew that. And when I didn't eat spinach, she'd say, you know, there's a million children over in China that would like to have that spinach. And that was supposed to be my motivation for eating the spinach. It usually didn't work. And it's not really fair. It's not a fair argument. The devil treats his children differently than God treats his. And the king here is talking about the children of God. And he said, you know, I was young once. Got some young people here. I was young once. I'm not anymore. Now I'm old. But the king said, I've never seen one of God's children starving. Ever. So I came into the world by the grace of God during the end of the Great Depression. And my parents didn't have much money. We didn't have a car. We didn't have a television set. Didn't have a radio in the beginning. We had very, very little. But the neighbors around us were in the same boat. They didn't have much money either. And us kids, we could play ball together. And we didn't think we were poor. But it was rough. And then coming out of the Depression, the country started coming better and better and better. And my father started making more money. Pretty soon we had a car. Had a rumble seat in the back of it. I'll never forget that. And not only that, and we got a television set later on, and things kept getting better and better and better and better. But it wasn't always that way for me. But I can look back at my life now, more than 83 years. Sometimes when we were so poor, we didn't know where our next meal was coming from. There hasn't been one night in my life that I've gone to bed hungry. Not one. And this is the Almighty God. And yeah, he feeds us all. That's why the Son of God told us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And most of us don't have to live that way. I mean, we got things in the refrigerator or in the cupboard we can go to, and that's a blessing. But we got to always remember where the blessing comes from and be thankful for it. One of the key things about unbelievers is neither were they thankful. And to sit down and eat a meal without thanking God for it, that's a terrible sin when you stop to think about it. We should be thankful to the Lord God for giving these things. This is not a given. There are some people, children of the devil, that don't have it. So then you go outside, especially in our area right now, we're in a lot of nature surroundings. I go out early in the morning, and what's the first thing that I hear? Birds singing. And it really didn't make any difference what happened the night before. We've had thunder and lightning storms and wind and branches falling down from the trees and some of the trees coming down. But in the morning, the birds are singing. And they sing praises to God. That's part of their creation, what they do. And it's a neat sound. And so they start the day singing to God. You go out there after the sun has gone down and it's starting to get dark, the birds are singing again. They begin the day that way and they end the day that way. That's not bad. Look at the fowls of the air. They'll teach you. We can learn something from that. Son of God, one more thing here. Well, two more things. Son of God says in Matthew 10, start 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Sparrows are, you can find them pretty much everywhere in the whole country. They're very popular. They cover a whole lot of territory. And they're really not worth a whole lot. Some of the children in the Holy Land in Old Testament times liked to have sparrows for pets, buy a bird. So if they had a farthing, which is a very, very small amount of money. Probably our penny would be the closest we could come to it. And if they had a farthing and they went into this pet store and they said, I want to buy a sparrow, here's the farthing. And the owner would give them two sparrows. Two of them. One of them is not worth a farthing. It takes two. And that's what the Son of God is pointing out. And he's using a contrast. He said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Yeah, they are. Okay. But one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. So human beings count the sparrows in twos. The Father counts them in ones. Every single sparrow. And then what conclusion does the Son of God draw from that? Not one of them shall fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. This is amazing. The hairs of our head are all numbered. The same God who numbers all the stars and gives them all a name is concerned about how many hairs I have on my head. That's amazing. The amount of interest that my Heavenly Father has in my life is miraculous. It's amazing. And the birds help teach me this. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. That's tremendously comforting. And the birds teach us this. So, one more thought that's going to lapse over into the rite of confirmation, as we call it, for Sydney. And that is Psalm 84, verse 3. And we're looking at birds again, sparrows and swallows. Sparrows, swallows. Psalm 84, verse 3. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. And you know, some birds, they don't care much about building a nest. They'll build one on the ground if they have to. But other birds are very particular about where they build their nest and how they build it. And these birds are really good parents. And so here you had a sparrow that searched around to find a place for her nest. And she found one. And the swallow found one also. They found one in the same place. So you got a sparrow and their neighbor is a swallow. Where is it? Where did they find a nest? Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. The sparrow and the swallow built their nest on the altars of God. Consider the fowls of the air. They'll teach you. This would have been the last place we would have thought that a sparrow or a swallow would build a nest. Because if you saw what it was like, the altar was filled with blood. It was a place of death. God only knows how many lambs have been slain and their blood sprinkled on that altar. But it all pointed toward the death of the Lamb that's the Son of God. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So the blood there, even though it outwardly was a sign of death, in reality, it was a sign of life. What a neat place for little swallows and sparrows to be hatched. So we look at Sydney. You have been very, very richly blessed because your parents have built a nest for you in the altar of God. And the confirmation class that we had, it was easy. You knew a lot of this stuff already. Your parents have done an excellent job of teaching you and guiding you in the right way. And as far as I'm concerned, it's been a real pleasure for me to be able to work one-on-one with you for the better part of 2 years. It's been a real joy and a real pleasure. And as kind of a token of this, we give you a little certificate, which is just a piece of paper, but it symbolizes something a lot more. It symbolizes what you have had. And this day to you is going to be a very important day, because this is the day, for the first time, you will be able to partake of the body and blood of your Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. And we looked at how that all took place. And so we'll give you this with God's richest blessings. And then we're going to sing right now hymn number 599 from Christian Worship. And then I'm going to have another shot at this. It's too good of an opportunity to pass up.